What is life? What is the essence of life? How do you get life? How do you know that you are living life? What does it mean to live? How would you answer all those questions with just one word? Supposing we invited the Apostle Paul here this morning and asked him from his point of view, what does it mean to live? Do you know what he would reply? I think he would say just one word: Christ. Or if you allowed him six words, he would say, to me, to live is Christ. Now, supposing we congratulated him and said, great answer, thank you, Paul. And then said, okay then, let me ask you another question. If, from your point of view, to live is Christ, what about the opposite, Paul? From your point of view, what does it mean to die? And I think he would be able to answer equally as succinctly. His one word answer would be gain. I am not making this up. This is exactly what he said in the first chapter of his letter to the Philippians in verse 21. He said, for to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Now, we are planning to look at this letter of Paul's to the Philippians over the coming weeks. And it is a great book to read at this time in our history when we are in lockdown, because this letter itself was written during lockdown. From what we can understand, looking at the book of Acts and trying to link it in with this letter to the Philippians, it would appear that it may relate to the time recorded at the end of Acts when Paul was, in effect, under house arrest in Rome, living as a prisoner, but with some freedom. In Acts chapter 28, we read that when he got to Rome, Paul was allowed to live by himself with a soldier to guard him, and there is reference to him living in a rented house. In the letter to the Philippians, Paul talks about himself being in chains. Now, we don't know if at this point he was physically chained up or whether he uses this as a pictorial way of describing being under house arrest. But we do know that Felix had previously ordered a centurion to keep Paul under guard, but to give him some freedom and permit his friends to take care of his needs. So it may well be that Paul at this point was not in the worst kind of prison. People could go and visit him, and he may have had some freedom, but he still could not just do whatever he wanted. And he talks about himself being in chains, whatever that means. And in this context of imprisonment, in this context of lockdown, it is amazing that on 16 occasions throughout the letter, he uses the word joy, rejoice, or glad, as they appear in the English language, three words which are all linked together in the Greek. 16 times he uses the words joy, rejoicing, or gladness. How can you talk about joy, rejoicing, gladness when you are in lockdown, when you are in chains? I think Paul looked at life very differently to the way our world looks at life. Indeed, to Paul, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. How do we look at life? How does our worldview compare to that of Paul's? Let us read the first part of Philippians chapter 1, that is verses 1 to 26. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus. To all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and the deacons. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of good will. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defence of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labour for me. And yet, what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is better by far, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me. There is so much packed into these 26 verses, and we cannot look at everything in detail today. But did you notice the 1, 2, 3, 4 references to joy and rejoicing in just this short passage? Joy and rejoicing during lockdown. What did Paul find to rejoice about during lockdown? Well, we often talk about joy in the Lord, or the joy of the Lord. And of course, it goes without saying, all authentic joy comes from the Lord. We cannot have joy apart from the Lord. But in verses 3 to 6, what is interesting is that Paul's motivation for joy is also to do with people. And that may challenge us. How often do Christians say, oh yes, I love the Lord. I love the Word of God. It's just the church. I don't really like all those church people. Some even go as far as saying, I don't need church. I can get along fine. Just me and my Lord. But can we honestly say that? Are we allowed to say that? Is that what Paul said? No way. On the contrary, he says in verses 3 to 6, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Do you get it, my friends? He thanks God whenever he remembers the church folk in Philippi. He prays with joy because they are partners in the gospel. So if we're going to apply it to ourselves, let's thank God that he loves us, of course. Let's thank Jesus for salvation. And one of your favourites, let's thank God for beautiful, wonderful creation. Yes, yes, yes. And let's also thank God for his people, our partners here at church. Let's thank our God every time we remember each other. And in all of our prayers for each other, let's always pray with joy because of our partnership together in the gospel with each other from the first day until now. Let's pray for each other, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in us will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Now, Paul was not only joyful because of his partners in the gospel. He was also joyful because the gospel was being preached, even though some of those who were doing it were acting with very wrong motives. In fact, he even goes as far as seeing the advantage in everything that has happened to him, including his imprisonment. This is what he says in verses 12 to 14. Now I want you to know, my brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. And he goes on to tell us about people who are deliberately trying to make trouble for him. Can you believe it? Please look at verses 15 to 17. He says, "It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains." Can you believe it? Why would anyone preach Christ to get Paul into trouble? How would you feel if it happened to you? Would it matter to me or you? I am sure that we would feel that it matters very much. But what did Paul say? Did it matter to him? What did he say in verse 18? And I quote, "But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached, and because of that, I rejoice." We get back to that word, joy, gladness, rejoicing. What does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached, and because of this, I rejoice. He rejoices because Christ is being preached, even if so-called believers are trying to stir up trouble for him. And he is not going to give up rejoicing any time soon. As verse 18 continues, he says, "Yes, and I will continue to rejoice. For I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and I hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so as that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death." Paul understands that things don't just happen to the believer. Things don't just happen in the life of a believer. Things happen for a purpose. And he wants to see God's purpose demonstrated in his life. And with regards to his earthly life, well, that is not something he is protecting. He's holding on to his earthly life very lightly, as he goes on to say, for to me, the way I see it, for to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Let me read that again. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. Now, this is in no way similar to Shakespeare's famous soliloquy, the to be or not to be soliloquy. The Apostle Paul is not contemplating suicide. He is not trying to escape from some feelings of guilt. He is simply saying that life is all about Jesus. And dying, if God calls you home, is no bad thing, as you are going to be with God, which is better than life here on earth. But the dilemma for him, knowing that many people still have not heard the gospel, knowing that the church needs leaders to strengthen it, his question, his dilemma is, which will be more useful in kingdom of God terms, going to be with God in glory or staying here on earth? And he puts it himself in these words in verse 22. He says, if I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. And yet, what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is better by far, but it is far more necessary for you that I remain in the body. And then he makes his final reference to joy in this short passage. And we pick it up in verse 25. He says, convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me. Paul already knows joy. He already has deep contentment. And he is planning to continue his ministry, not for his own benefit, but for those he is serving, for their progress and their joy in the faith. Well, we're nearly at the end. How do you feel when you think about Paul? I certainly feel very challenged by Paul's attitude and life, and of course all those references to joy. How does he do it? What is his secret? His secret is in his worldview, the way he looks at everything. And this is how he sums it up. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Let us learn from the Apostle Paul. The way I see it, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Amen.